All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jen. My name is Martin Suberg. I'm the commissioner of Massachusetts DEP. I want to thank Jen Peterson and Mass Water Works again for arranging. I disappeared there for a moment. I was in the middle of thanking Jen Peterson and Mass Water Works for arranging this forum and for giving us an opportunity to keep talking about things. This is part of our effort to stay in touch during the unprecedented COVID emergency times. This call is being recorded like our previous calls have been recorded, and a copy of that recording will be put on our website along with updated questions and answers that, you know, many of which come from this forum. I would also like to note that Kathy Baskin, our Assistant Commissioner for Water, Yvette DePisa, our Drinking Water Program Director, Damon Gooderman, and as well as individuals from the regional offices are on the call with us. Again, we believe it's important for us to all be hearing the same things, and also to be, you know, if there are particular issues, then, you know, having the right people already on the call with some knowledge of the issue will mean more efficient work. So thank you for, thank you to DEP regional staff and for also being on this call. We are fortunate we're joined by EPA usually for these calls, and I believe Jane Downing from EPA Region 1, the director of their drinking water program, she's on the line. So, Jane, would you like to unmute yourself and offer any comments from the EPA perspective?
Great. Thanks, Commissioner, and thank you, Jen, for the opportunity to talk to all of you today. It's a beautiful day, and hope you're staying healthy. I have just three very quick items. The first one is going back again to the PPE. We've heard from all of the New England states, and you are all doing a great job distributing the masks. I encourage the water utilities to complete any surveys that come your way and share with all of us your future PPE needs, because the more we know, the better we're able to advocate on your behalf. So I know there's tens of thousands of masks that are now in the hands of the water utilities. Massachusetts is right out there in front. So thank you all again for your work. I'm sure the commissioner will touch upon the details of that as well. So that's the PPE. We have heard that there may be a small amount of thermometers available, but that would have to be worked through the incident command system, which is, again, working locally with the emergency agencies and then up through the state. So look for that if you're able to talk to people about your needs on that one. I want to also just use the opportunity to talk about a few deadlines that are coming up. And the first one is right around the corner, which is the CCR deadline of July 1st. And back in March, we had our first deadline that fell under AWIA, which is America's Water Infrastructure Act. This was the requirement for utilities greater than 100,000 to finish and certify that they completed risk and resilience assessments. And we're happy to report that we have 100% compliance across New England. The next deadline is September 30th, so we have a bit of time, and that's again for the same size systems, greater than 100,000, to complete emergency response plans. Your other systems, the medium and small systems, your deadlines are coming up a little bit further out, but I'm sure you're paying attention to that as well. And finally, on training, we have a couple of training webinars coming up next week that are focused on laboratories. The first one is assessing laboratory support. The second one is Kuplan templates for water laboratories, and that is out of EPA. The first one is June 25th. The second one is June 23rd. If you're interested in the links for registration, I would suggest you Google EPA. And this week, There is one that's very intriguing. It's from the Water Research Foundation on June 17th, and it's Utility Risk and Resilience Assessments. We just talked about that, AWEA, and it's the lessons learned from the trenches. So utilities talking about their experience developing their risk and resilience assessments. And finally, on June 18th, from DA Department of Homeland Security, there is one which is very timely called Infrastructure Hurricane Response During a Pandemic. So again, the links are pretty significant. So you should just Google DHS for the hurricane response, and for the utility risk and resilience, the Water Research Foundation. And I think that's it for now. Thank you, Commissioner. Over to you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate the information. We do also have on these calls Mike Maynard, the chair of our Board of Licensure, and I was hoping if Mike was on the call, if there were any updates, he might unmute himself and offer them up to us at this time.
Yep. Hi, Commissioner. Hi, Jen. A couple of things I wanted to run through. Again, thanking the Board of Certification, which is Andy Reed, Dave Kopis, Bill Saloma, and Blake Lucas. Also welcoming in DPL has a new associate executive director, and her name is Karen Brand. So I wanted to welcome her on board. We, as far as temporary emergency certifications go, we just received 3 applications in the last 2 days. What I'd like to stress is when you do send in a TEC, temporary emergency cert, that you include a CORE authorization form signed for the individual who you are naming. So please include the CORE authorization form. The next thing is TCHs. In an effort to reach out to additional operators and potential operators, we worked with UMass, Amherst, Mass Rural Water, and FERCOG. And we are doing a VSS T1 D1 training, which is online, and that is full. So that is for to identify potential operators in Franklin County, and also to open it up to new operators in the inner city. So we've got a number, about 10 candidates from the inner city in and around Boston to train that next generation of operators. The next thing is the board met on Friday, and we processed 25 applications electronically, and we are working with the new assistant executive director, Karen Brand, to address the backlog. We know there is a backlog. We're working with DPL to identify it and to address that backlog. And then that's about it. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks for being on the call. So a few things before we get into some of the questions that Jen Peterson forwarded from you in preparation for today's discussion. In terms of where we are in state government, most of us at DEP are still continuing to work remotely. So the processes and procedures you've used for making submissions and reaching out to us remain the same. While we're talking about phases and reopening, at this point we are still working remotely. There are a number of logistical issues that would need to be considered for those of us working in the office environments where we are. So we are continuing to work remotely, and again would encourage you to follow the same procedures that we've been following over these past 3 months. Secondly, on masks, thanks again to Jane Downing for her efforts there. We have, as you know, the last time we spoke, we had announced that the first batch of over 30,000 masks had been delivered. We put out a survey because we were fortunate enough to get another 30 some odd thousand masks. That survey period closed on June 5th, and as I understand it, we are now fully engaged in the process of delivering the second round of masks, the 30 some odd thousand masks, and our partners at the utilities across the state have been working closely with us. I want to thank them again. And we are endeavoring to get the rest of these masks delivered as soon as possible so they're in the hands of the people who need them. So, you know, thanks to EPA, thanks to the utilities that have played such an important role as our points of distribution for not only putting the masks out, but also doing the record keeping that we need. And thanks to Amy Finch and Kristen Diveris of DEP for helping to coordinate that effort. Jane mentioned thermometers. I will take that back to our command center discussion. It sounds like where we're talking about thermometers. While we will raise it here, it also, I think what I heard from Jane is it may be important to be in touch with your local emergency management officials in case, you know, they're plugged in. We've heard over the months that sometimes working with the local management authorities might be a way to make sure that you're securing some of this equipment. On economics, we have not heard any details about the latest stimulus package. Again, we know it's very much on people's minds. I've been talking to a few of the systems, and I know how important not losing sight of that issue is. I also know that Mass Waterworks has done some work in terms of trying to track the revenue and economic impacts that all of you are experiencing, and I appreciate that effort. And we'll stay in close contact with Jen Peterson as that information is compiled. Finally, I will mention one thing. We're going to talk about it. This is not really a drinking water issue, but while I have you all here, many of you work on utilities, and if you're not on the wastewater call tomorrow, I will say that for those of you who do need to apply for NFTES permits, EPA has let us know, the wastewater program has let us know that they're changing the approach that we've used for a while of joint permits based on guidance they've gotten from their headquarters, according to Dennis Diesel, the regional administrator, as well as from their attorneys. The permits that are issued for NFTES won't be necessarily jointly issued anymore. There will be a federal permit and a state permit. EPA Region 1 has indicated that they are open to working in as coordinated a fashion with us as possible so that we can maximize efficiencies. But in that this change is coming, and by the terms of the letter we got from EPA, we have to have our new procedures in place by June 21st. We are working to make sure that we are set up for that. And immediately I will say that the form that you are submitting to DEP is the same form you submitted even when we were doing things jointly. It's just going to be really important to make sure you're submitting it to DEP. And we'll have more details on how public comment and review processes will work. But I just wanted to highlight that there will be a notice going out later this week. And again, we will try to minimize the inconvenience, maximize the coordination with EPA based on its new protocols, and make sure that this is as streamlined as possible. But because some of you work in both the water and wastewater area, I just wanted to alert you to this. An email will be coming. We will attempt to have our procedures laid out as clearly as possible, and deal with this very recent change as efficiently as we can. So with that, I know we have a few questions that have come in since last time we were together. And number one is DEP's plans for sanitary surveys. As you know, we are required by EPA to conduct sanitary surveys on a regular schedule. They're viewed as very important elements of our oversight of the work we do with EPA on drinking water systems and the work we do with the systems themselves. I know our drinking water staff has been doing some thinking about how we might do this, still in the middle of the response to COVID. And so I might ask, is it Yvette I would ask to walk through some of the elements of the things we're thinking about and what types of communications you might be expecting to hear from us?
Yes, this is the vet here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you, Marty. As you all know, the drinking water program is required to do a certain number of sanitary surveys each year, and it's based on federal primacy requirements. So we are responsible for evaluating community systems once every 3 years, unless the particular community system has an outstanding compliance record. And for us in Massachusetts, that's 5 years of no violations. In that case, we would evaluate that system once every 5 years. And for non-community systems, we have to evaluate them every 5 years. So for the year 2020, we have 348 public water systems that are scheduled for sanitary surveys. And we have committed to contact each one of the 348 systems and to use all available tools, including remote tools, to attempt to evaluate these systems for the 8 elements of a sanitary survey. Remote tools that we might use would include review of pictures, videos, also close communication with the certified operators using e-conferencing tools like the one that we're on, FaceTime, Zoom, GoToMeetings. This is not just in Massachusetts. Nationally, all programs are looking at how can we use what tools are available to perform evaluations for sanitary surveys. The goal right now is to do as much of the evaluation work in the office. So we'll be collecting information from systems. We'll be looking at any available information in our files, and we will be asking for some additional information before we decide whether, based on public health concerns, we need to do an on-site visit. If we determine an on-site visit is necessary, we will be sure to follow the public health safety procedures, which includes pre-survey questioning that covers CDC, the CDC question set, and wearing the appropriate PPEs. And all of that information will be provided to the water suppliers and our own staff prior to doing an on-site. So I guess the take-home message is that we are going to be doing sanitary surveys. We are going to be using and maximizing remote tools. And if we determine it's necessary to do an on-site, we'll be working with the individual water system and their certified operator to do the best job possible, following all appropriate public health and safety guidances. That's it. Any questions? But that's the plan. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Yvette. And there will certainly be more outreach that the drinking water program is doing. You know, and again, the goal is to meet all of our responsibilities to, you know, make sure that the surveys are conducted, but also to make sure that we are protecting not only our own DEP employees, but the people we're interacting with. And so trying to use alternatives to what historically might have been face-to-face types of interactions where possible is something that we're taking a very serious look at. And, I expect you'll be hearing more from DEP going forward. So our next question is, could DEP comment on whether water shutoffs or non-payment are allowed for customers of private water systems? The person that asked said, we recognize there's a law not allowing shutoffs for municipal or district public water systems until June 30th. and a director for investor-owned utilities regulated by DEP not to terminate service until the end of the state of the emergency or DPU lifts the order. This system is not municipal and not regulated by DPU. I don't know that we are going to have an answer for that. I think this is really something that the system is going to have to look, to how it was set up. I think the questioner recognized that there are legal authorities depending on whether you're a municipal system or a DPU regulated system, but there's nothing in our DEP regulations or anything that we're aware of that would answer that particular question. This related or similar question, could DEP comment on whether there's an update to the moratorium on shutoffs for municipal water systems? Will it expire on June 30th? We're taking that one back to the command center. As you know, a number of these provisions and things came up during the course of the COVID emergency during the early innings. I know that people are looking at these issues. I don't have an answer today, but we will commit to finding out what the expected, what people are thinking and what next steps on that might be. There's a question about noting that there was difficulty in getting water workers recognized for priority status for testing, COVID testing. Could DEP on our behalf begin early discussions with the command center to help workers get first responder status for when a vaccine is made available, since supply will probably be limited? Yes, we don't have an answer today. I know we're all very much looking forward to a day where there is a vaccine, and I know we're also all wanting to make sure that people that are performing essential functions are at the top of the list. So we will we'll continue to engage with our liaison at the command center and identify this as a question that has come from the industry, and that there's a lot of interest in this topic. The last advanced question that came in was on regulatory compliance, and it says, given that many people are at home and there's more frequent water use to maintain proper sanitation practices, will DEP be holding water systems to maximum daily pumping rates on wells? There's probably not one broad answer to that. And I would say that if you are a system that is experiencing that, this is probably a good time to be talking to your regional office, because I think our experience has been that it is possible that we will be seeing systems with different kinds of circumstances. Some will see increases in water demand, as the question suggests, while others, we know water demand has fallen off significantly. And so we're going to need to know the facts. We also, are careful about maximum daily pumping limits, because they were established with respect to water quality and public safety, making sure that the water that's being drawn is going to be there when we need it. So I don't know that we're going to have a general policy, but if you're a community that is experiencing, significant water usage increases, let your regional office know and we can talk about it. But right now, as I've said, for the policy reasons we've articulated, we're not going to have a general policy that says that you don't have to, you don't have to address the daily limit requirement. And again, the daily limit requirement, which was put into place for a number of purposes. But again, if you're having problems operating your system, as always, we have the regional folks on the call. They are responding to phone calls and emails, and we would encourage you to reach out to them. So with that, I think that's the last of some of the new questions we've got. And so, Kathy, I don't know if there's Jen, I don't know if there's anything that's come in through the chat or through email since we've started talking.
Yep, we have a few, Commissioner.
Okay.
There was a clarifying question on Yvette's sanitary survey. Was the number given for calendar year 2020? And I'm sorry, Damon has replied, yes, 348 in calendar year 2020 is the requirement for the sanitary survey. So that's what DEP will be looking, the number of surveys they'll be looking to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I should say, if you're on the phone and, or, you know, you don't have access to chat and want to ask a question, you can email it to me at jpeterson, that's with a D, at masswaterworks.org. And then if you're unable to email or chat, we can certainly unmute at the end. Another question, a system is asking, they have paper forms on the backflow when they do the backflow tests, and they're asking if DEP is going to require the signatures on those backflow forms, or can the signatures be waived during the pandemic?
Let me ask the program to answer that. I know we've dealt with that with other signature issues. So Yvette, is that one that you'd like to field?
Yes, I'm happy to do so. Thank you. We have an answer to that question on the FAQ, but I'll repeat it. We are using emails to document that the owner has agreed to the survey and the survey results. So you don't have to sign that form while you're in the field, but you should use email communication to document that the survey was completed, that the owner agrees with the results of the survey. And that question is actually in our FAQs.
Yvette, there's one more for you. You had mentioned the lead and copper training on our last call. A system is asking if there's any update on when that training might be.
The training date is July 9th, and it will be on the Zoom platform. We are going to be sending out our registration information next week or somewhere in that time frame. And we are looking forward to as many water systems as we can manage in the Zoom platform to participate. So July 9th.
Thank you. I have a question for Michael Maynard that's come up to me from a couple of operators. The DEP program director email had referenced some useful webinars being offered through operator.org. And it does say that they have to check with their certifying authority as to whether or not those will be accepted for TCHs. Mike, have you looked at that Go operator, and can you comment?
Yeah, those that email came in yesterday to me, and those courses were not submitted to the board for approval. So if that association or whoever did it, I forget specifically who it was, if they wanted to submit the course to the board for approval, we would certainly look at it. But the way it was written in that email, those had not been submitted for approval. But we do have the authority, the board does have the authority now to allow TCHs for online training.
Thanks, Mike.
Sure.
And that's all I have via email and the chat at this point.
Okay. Anybody want to unmute themselves and ask anything or comment on anything? Okay, it doesn't sound like anybody's going to take us up on this. We will continue to make sure that we are staying in contact. I believe now we're doing these calls every 2 weeks. And so our next one will be, I believe, June 30th at this time. In the meantime, we will continue to be pushing out email messages from either program director or working with Mass Waterworks on other issues. You know, if we're learning something, particularly if it's, you know, time sensitive, we will always make it a point to do that. And again, you know, for those of you that are dealing with particular issues, you know, our regional folks, they're out there, they're on the job and eager to engage as well. So we'll continue to make sure that we are available that way. And if nothing else, we'll be back together again on the 30th to talk about the latest developments.
Great. Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Okay. Thanks, Jen. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye.